was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and sent him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
マタイの福音書4章1節から11節。さて、イエスは悪魔の試みを受けるため、御霊に導かれて荒野に登っていかれた。そして40日40夜断食した後で空腹を覚えられた。すると試みる者が近づいてきていった。あなたが神の子なら、この石がパンになるように命じなさい。イエスは答えて言われた。人はパンだけで生きるのではなく、神の口から出る一つ一つの言葉によると書いてある。すると悪魔はイエスを聖なる都に連れて行き、神殿の頂に立たせていった。あなたが神の子なら下に身を投げてみなさい。神は御使いたちに命じて、その手にあなたを支えさせ、あなたの足が石に打ち当たることのないようにされると書いてありますから。イエスは言われた。あなたの神である主を試みてはならないとも書いてある。今度は悪魔はイエスを非常に高い山に連れて行き、この世のすべての国々と栄華を見せていった。もしひれ伏して私を拝むなら、これを全部あなたに差し上げましょう。イエスは言われた。引き下がれサタン、あなたの神である主を拝み、主にだけ仕えよと書いてある。すると悪魔はイエスを離れていき、見よ、御使いたちが近づいてきて仕えた。
Today we're going to look at the temptation of Jesus. And in context, it's pretty amazing. You know, last week we talked about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And it was an amazing scene. It's probably just John's ministry sparked a revival, and many people were coming to be baptized by John. And there was this such excitement in the air. Excitement that maybe you might have felt when you went to a concert, a football game, you know, one of those things where there's just electricity in the air, and John was in the center of that, and it had nothing to do with just things like entertainment or just athleticism or anything like that, but it had to do with righteousness. Isn't that great? There's just a lot of excitement for righteousness, for just worshiping God and being right with God. And Jesus comes under that ministry to fulfill all righteousness. He's baptized by John. The heavens literally open and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, and a voice from heaven, boom, "You are my Son, who I'm well pleased." And you're thinking, wow, that must be amazing. Jesus must be feeling just so great right now. But it says immediately after that, he was led into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, 40 nights, and to be tempted by the devil. Back in antiquity, wilderness itself kind of just conjured up the image of ghosts and demons and all these other things. But so it's like a double. The wilderness already has those things, but it explicitly says the devil came to tempt him. And today I want to look at the temptation of Jesus. And the common theme you'll see throughout the temptation is when Jesus does spiritual warfare, he will quote scripture. He will say, "It is written." And I think there are two things happening when Jesus quotes Scripture. One, He knows Scripture. He can quote it. But at the same time, I believe He's sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, not just to know what's written, but to hear from God, from His mouth, just a fresh word. What is God saying to me right now today? And how is He speaking? And the combination of those two, we'll see, is what brings Jesus victorious over these temptations. And I think in you and my life, the same thing is true. When we know Scripture, but also we have the sensitivity to hear Him, that will lead us into victory over temptation, victory over the devil. And just a pop quiz real quick. Do you know where Jesus is quoting from? This actually all from one book.
Psalms.
You would think like Isaiah, you would think like Psalms. Those are great books, right? We love reading the Psalms. We love reading the... Me and Nate were, and a couple of Nate's friends, we're going through like reading the Psalms and the Proverbs together through one of the apps. And I love it, man. I'm doing other like Bible daily reading plans, but when it comes to these other books, like Numbers and, it's just like, man, I'm just going through it. It's like Deuteronomy, Leviticus, these books, I'm just trying to get through it, you know? I'm not enjoying it. Jesus actually quotes from Deuteronomy. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. He knows his Bible. You know, he's not quoting from like popular books. He's quoting from obscure books, and the devil's like, dang it, I didn't read Deuteronomy. I hate Deuteronomy. And it's like, oh man, I didn't read that part. No, but you'll see the common theme of just knowing Scripture, reading Scripture. I'm not going to say it's too late, like, in the midst of temptation to like go to your Bible. But during the midst of temptation, you probably don't have time to like go to your Bible, flip through your Bible. It has to be in there. It's so important to be reading your Bible daily, as we'll see in the first temptation, but you know, just being able to draw from a reservoir of Scripture instead of, oh man, like I'm being tempted, let me flip through my Scripture, million Scripture through my book. I think it might be too late if that's the case. And so if you're not already doing this, I encourage all of you, I encourage myself, that we need to continue to read Scripture, be part of Bible studies. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there that talks about Scripture, understanding Scripture. There's so much resource out there available literally at the tip of your finger. Did I say that phrase right? At the tip of your fingertip? I don't know. Anyways, you know what I mean. It's there. Let's take advantage of it. But here, Jesus is led to the wilderness. After fasting, He's hungry. You know, He's probably starving. He's probably at the point of maybe almost dead. And the tempter said and came to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." One commentator, Craig Evans, says this: the devil begins with the words, "If you are the Son of God." In the Greek, there's four distinct types of if-then sentences. The type here called a first-class conditional sentence. You guys, I don't know what that means. That's why I'm quoting it. Understands the words if, i.e. as being equivalent to because. If the parentheses is E-I in the Greek, is as equivalent to because, i.e. because you are the Son of God. So this if in the Greek in the English can be translated, because you are the Son of God. The tempter is not questioning the reality of Jesus' sonship, and after God himself acknowledged it, what would the point be? He is suggesting that Jesus do something in the light of his divine sonship. In a sense, the devil is saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Because you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread. And we know that you can make these bread beyond bread. Okay, I said it. Beyond. You can make it beyond bread. You can make it great. You can make it infused with nano butter in croissant, you know, kind of bread. And Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil here is tempting Jesus to misuse his power. Because I believe, and I believe Satan believes this too, the misuse of power will become eventually abuse of power. And I believe each and every one of us at some point in our lives will have some sort of power. And it's so important to not misuse that power for our own purposes, our own gain. Because eventually it will probably become an abuse of power. And Satan would like nothing more than the church to be known and the people of God to be known of people who misuse and abuse power. And Jesus himself and God himself wants to just give each and every one of us power of an age to come. You know, the Holy Spirit, it sanctifies us. It makes us holy and righteous, but it also has power of an age to come, a supernatural power. And if the people of God, and if we don't understand how to steward that power, we will eventually misuse it and abuse it. And we've seen already in the church, the Catholic Church, but in the church, how terrible the misuse and abuse of power can be. But Jesus is able to avoid the abuse and misuse of power by using the Word of God. And this quote seems to say something to the sort of, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Two things I want to just share is, one, it seems like our basic needs is more than just bread and water. Jesus seems to be implying that our basic needs go far beyond bread, water, and maybe just sleep, you know? Amen. We need more than that. Amen. And there's more that's there that is offered to us that we have in abundance. But are we taking advantage of it? Are we consuming this spiritual bread that is just as important as natural bread? You know, my wife and I, we try to fast. And I say try because it was, I don't know, man. Well, I mean, I went 24 hours without eating food. But I was going to try to do like an intense 3-day fast. And after 24 hours, I like to my wife, did you hear what God said? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And I was like, I think so too. And it's just like, all right, then let's just eat. It was just, I don't know, there wasn't grace for me to fast. And sometimes there's grace and it just wasn't, it's not easy. And some of you, for me, like, I'm a nervous eater, so if I'm watching a movie, if I'm watching a game, then I'm just eating, you know? It just calms me down. And the more intense it is, the more I need to eat. It's like, like I need to be calmed down. Sorry. Okay, I'm the pastor. I should be calm with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I use food. I'm not perfect. But we don't go too long without eating, right? Like none of us. I don't know if there's people here that go for prolonged times without eating and are just happy about it. You don't get the You don't get hangry or anything. Most of us, if we're not eating, we're like short, we get hangry, and it's like little things bother us. We're annoyed, we're anxious, it just food does a lot for us. Let me tell you something. It seems like Jesus is saying here, same thing happens with the Spirit. Just as in the natural we get annoyed, angry when we're not eating food, spiritually I think something happens. We're more prone to sin maybe. We're more prone to compromise. We're more prone to abuse power, misuse power. We're more prone to do things, say things that goes beyond, you know, what, you know, our character, because we're not consuming spiritual bread. It also seems to imply here, so explicitly it says Jesus, when he's doing spiritual warfare, he quotes scripture. Explicitly he quotes scripture, and that's how I think, you know, it doesn't say this is how you do spiritual warfare, but just an example, this is how you do spiritual warfare. As well as his quoting it, he seems to be implying implicitly that what he's quoting is coming from the mouth of God. So everything, man doesn't live by bread alone, but what comes from the mouth of God. And I don't have any commentators to quote on this, but it just doesn't seem like from what the mouth of God said in the past. But I think it's more of a present kind of reality. It's what's coming from the mouth of God. What has been said, what's being said, what will be said, what's coming from the mouth of God. So you and I, each and every one of us, I believe, has the ability to know scripture, know what God has said, but also to know what God is saying currently, presently. I think that's a reality we could all have the ability to tap into through grace, through Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross. So the devil says, okay, you want to go with what's written? Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now I wonder, as Jesus is fasting and as he's being tempted, I wonder if Jesus knows that the tempter, that the person he's talking to is the devil. I wonder if he's aware of that. Because scripture tells us that Satan can come as an angel of light. So I wonder if here the devil, Satan, FYI, Satan is, I believe, a Latin word meaning slander, accuser. Satan is a Hebrew word, ha-satan, meaning basically the same thing, accuser of the brethren, slander. So I believe when you see Satan, devil here, it's interchangeable, it's titles, although I could be wrong, but I believe that's what this is. And so when the devil is talking to Jesus, I wonder if he's coming as an angel of light and Jesus is not aware that he's talking with Satan. You know, I think that would be foolish. If Jesus already knew, maybe he would just be like, hey, get out of here, Satan. I don't want to talk to you. Like, I'm not going to entertain you. So I wonder if that's happening. Now, I personally believe this is a physical kind of interaction, not just Jesus in the wilderness having just thoughts in his head and voices in his head. I personally believe this is a physical interaction with someone that came to Jesus and is asking him these questions. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in the form of a rabbi, because this is just sort of how rabbis went back and forth. They would use scripture with scripture with scripture, and they'd just go back and forth. And if he was in disguise, this Psalm 91 would be the perfect scripture to use to continue to disguise himself, because Psalm 91 back then and even now is used as a psalm for spiritual warfare. You still see people using and quoting Psalm 91 when they're going through spiritual warfare. And so even back then, I think during like exorcisms or just when they're going through some spiritual warfare, they would cite Psalm 91 as a psalm of protection, because that's what it is. And so the devil comes and he says, I'm not the devil, I'm going to use Psalm 91, and that'll like prove that I'm not the devil, kind of thing. So he cites from Psalm 91, and it's out of context. This psalm is out of context. And so Jesus points out that even though it's written, you cannot simply use scripture in an arbitrary way. You can't just take it out of context and use it however you want to use it. You can't just put yourself in danger and say, God can save me, kind of stuff. You know, when we do use scripture lightly, I think the most important aspect of that is our motive, our intention, our heart. I think God looks at all of those things. And here Satan comes with impure motives of saying, hey, God will save you. It's written. Throw yourself down. It's written. And Jesus quotes again, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Now again, so in context, right? Everything has to be taken in context. And you could actually take what Jesus says out of context. You should not put your Lord your God to the test. You know, and that sort of, what it literally is saying is, you know, don't question God. You shouldn't, like, kind of, you know, you shouldn't do the things. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having questions about God. I think God is okay when we have questions. I think it's an abuse of power when the church, you know, is asked, like, hard question, if they use, don't test God, don't question God, just believe, you know, kind of attitude. I think that's a bad attitude, and I think that's a misquote of what Jesus is doing here. Jesus isn't doing that. Jesus isn't saying, no, you shouldn't question God like that. No, that's not what he's saying. That's out of context. He's saying, I'm not going to put myself in danger to test and prove God. And that's a completely different thing when in Malachi, you know, when God says, test me in this. Oh, I thought I'm not supposed to test God. No, God says, test me in this. And so God is okay with certain questions. He's okay with us, you know, just like, is the church, is what he's saying, is that okay? Is that right? I think God is okay with us using our brains and stuff like that. I hope that comes, you know. I'm not trying to, like, contradict what the scripture, what Jesus is doing right now. I'm just trying to put it in context, what he's doing.
Yeah.
So again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain, shows him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. Now, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if this is a vision. I don't know whether this is, maybe Satan comes as an angel of light. He's appearing as a prophet, and he's able to bring Jesus up into this place and show him all the glory of the world. And he said to him, all these things I'll give to you if you fall down and tell me how great I am. Fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan! I need it. There's an exclamation mark there. So it was like, it wasn't like, be gone, Satan. It was like booming. It was like, be gone, Satan! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This must have been a difficult time in Jesus' life. This was not an easy time. He's been fasting. He's being tempted. I think sometimes when we look at the temptation of Jesus, we think, it's easy. It's just boom, boom, bam, bam. No, if it was so difficult for Jesus that angels came to minister to him. And there was only one other recorded time that happened. That was at the cross. Before he went to the cross in Gethsemane, it seems like, I believe in Luke's gospel, angels came and ministered to Jesus because he was just in so much warfare. And here, same thing happened. Angels came and began to minister to Jesus. So this is difficult. And I personally, it's hard. I'm having a hard time understanding why it's so difficult. It's like, Satan comes, he shows you the world, hey, become a Satan worshiper. It's like, oh, how is that difficult? Like, how is that difficult? Honestly. Like, if you become a Satan worshiper, I'll make you a billionaire. It's like, no. Like, that. There's nothing appealing about that. Like, I don't want to be a Satan worshiper. I'm not going to worship Satan for that. And it just, like, I don't get it. It's like, it's hard for me to wrap myself what's going on. Honestly, it's for me, I'm not sure why. But certainly, we have all been through temptation, and we know how difficult temptation is. And this last one, perhaps the difficulty of it for Jesus has to do with what's going to happen the next 3 years. Satan is offering Jesus something that Jesus is already going to have, that he's already going to get. But what it will cost him for the world is the cross. And in those 3 years, it'll cost him rejection, it'll cost him betrayal, it'll cost him injustice, it'll cost him pain, scourging, it'll cost him the cross, and it'll cost him God's abandonment, and all of those things. And all of those things that Jesus knows is going to happen in the next 3 years, perhaps Satan is saying, I know a shortcut. You've been ever tempted with shortcuts?
Sure.
You know? It's not easy. And so here Satan is offering something the devil knows is rightfully going to be his, if it's not already his, but it's going to eventually become rightfully his. And Jesus says, "Be gone, Satan. I don't want nothing to do with what you're offering me." Notice he just doesn't ignore Satan. You know, sometimes, especially for us, like Japanese people, it's easy for us to just be so passive aggressive. We just like ignore it. You know, when something comes, we just try to ignore it. If it's right in our face, we just like pretend like we're just looking. It's like just boom, you know. We don't see anything. Here, Jesus doesn't ignore it, but he tells them specifically, "Get out of here. We don't want none of this." And that's important. I think in our lives, it's important when we see Satan working. It's important to call it out for what it is. We live in a culture when we see like injustice or evil, what do? If we're not ignoring it, what are we doing? We're taking like a video of it, you know? But we're not saying stop it. I think it's important to say stop it. Hey, stop it. Like, stop harassing that person. It's not cool. Like, stop beating your child in public. That's not right. I don't know how to say it. I don't, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. But, you know, at one point, like, if a guy's like just, and you, I don't know. We live in a world where that's not uncommon. Unfortunately, we see that it's important to say, hey, you just made it my business. You know, doing it in front of me. Like, don't do that. It's important to say, be gone, Satan. I just want to end with this. Before, you know, Jesus could truly minister to the people, begin his public ministry, he had to win these private battles where nobody else knew. I think it was just him and the devil. And for each and every one of us who strive to be more like Jesus, it's important to win those private battles. When no one's watching, when you're by yourself, when it's just between you and the Lord, you know? It's important to win those battles, to truly just begin to win those battles in public. And each and every one of the temptations was consistent as Jesus quotes Scripture. He's drawing from a reservoir of Scripture. And is being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Again, if you're not doing this, I encourage you, try to get into the habit of reading Scripture every day. In order for each and every one of us to grow, mature spiritually, it's not rocket science, you know. Pray, read your Scripture, take your vitamins. Not just kidding. I remember Hulk Hogan always talking about pray and take your vitamins. But, you know, read your Scripture, pray, give, worship. It's just basic things. But if it's done just maybe once a week or, you know, a couple times a week, honestly, I don't know how much growth you'll see in your life. Same principle applies to anything. Like if you're just doing once or twice a month or something like that, you're not going to see a lot of growth. But if you're consistent at it every day, just and it doesn't have to be big. Just 15 minutes. Start with 2 minutes of prayer, honestly, because you know you can't. If you're not praying regularly, 15 minutes is going to seem like an eternity. But start small. Just persevere. Read, pray, read, pray, worship. Read, pray, worship. Yeah, like oh man, that sounds like a lot of things. But listen, how many of you like eat 3 times a day? At least, you know, right? At least. And none of you are like, oh man, that's really eat 3 times a day? Are you kidding me? It's like, oh, I'm never going to be able to do this. No, I'm just saying eat spiritually. Like, be consistent with it. You know, as you become consistent with it, I think more and more we'll begin to see these private victories. And as we see these private victories in where only God knows and Satan knows, then privately God will begin to give you more and more public victories in our lives. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. And for those of us who are facing just temptation, I do pray, Father, for grace to say no. Jesus, you showed us the way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And as you were victorious all the way to the cross, I pray each and every one of us will learn and walk in the path that you walked in, to follow you wherever you lead us, wherever you go. No shortcuts, no misuse of power, no unrighteous testing of the Lord, but walking with you, Lord, being sensitive. I pray for the grace, Lord. I just pray right now in Jesus' name for grace to pray, for the grace to read your Scripture consistently, Lord. Even a hunger for your Scripture, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that you would give us grace for a hunger for your Scripture.
Yes.
Just to grow in that area of feeding our spirit, of feeding us, of feasting on your Word, Lord.
Amen.
Yes. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us all stand for worship.